And it is the topic of revival that's much on our minds these days. Revival, revival, revival. Revival, there's a word that they use in the military where the bugler gets up and blows reveille. And there's an old Irving Berlin song that commemorates the First World War, and it says, "Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning." And it says, "One day I'm going to get that pup, the one that wakes the bugler up, and then I'll spend the rest of my life in bed." And sometimes I think we do not like to be disturbed. We just want to sleep on. And it was a pleasant surprise to hear the sermon last week by Pastor Finley, Elder Finley, preached on the 10 virgins. And I preached this sermon that I'm going to preach now at North Augusta. And it's called "Get Right or Get Left." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people again in your behalf. But we pray that it is not just us, but that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of this place, the hearts of the listeners, and the lips of the speaker, that we might revive ourselves and get the job done. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 13, verses 23, beginning there. And one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you where you are from.' And you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." And it was interesting to hear that somebody said in the Sabbath school last week that they had seen a sign, and I wasn't here when I heard this, that said exactly the sermon title that I have here, "Get Right or Get Left." We need to be right with God and right with one another in order for revival to take place. We want revival, but revival is simply waking up, shaking yourself, waking up, coming out of the stupor that we are in. I was going to say you are in, but I'm in it too. We really do. In this dark day that we live in, we need to shake ourselves good and get ourselves geared and ready for the coming of the Lord. And the only way that we can get ready for the coming of the Lord is we have to prepare ourselves. And the ideal situation that we want to see in this church is in Acts chapter 2. Go there. We want to read that. Acts chapter 2. The ideal situation is not something new and exciting and different, but old and basic and fundamental. Acts chapter 2, going down to verse 42. And it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, that's in the church, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then, look at this last line. I love this. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. If the church is revived and awake and doing what it's supposed to do and functioning as it's supposed to function, the Lord will add daily to our numbers. We will not have to go running around with like a chicken without its head and looking for people to come to church. They will be attracted to you. They will be attracted to us. We will be a city set on a hill, a candle sitting on a hill, not under a bushel. They will be attracted to us like a moth to the flame. They will say, what's going on over there at that Aiken Seventh-day Adventist church? They are different. Those people are alive. They are not faking it. They are not just jumping around making noise, but they are actually living a different kind of Christian life from all the world. Because the world has got a false idea of what a Christian should be. Some people think you need to be excited all the time and you need to forget about all your troubles and just party, party, party and holler and hoop and carry on. And that is supposed to be revival. That is not revival, my friends. Revival is when you are thoroughly right with God, you keep your experience up to date, you read your Bible, you pray every day, and you go about everywhere doing what Jesus did, doing good to all, helping where you can help, lifting those that need lifting, comforting those that need comforting, healing those that need healing, and doing all the things that the church is supposed to do that the government is not supposed to be doing. But we want Medicare, and we want all this other stuff, and we want welfare, and we want all these things. We want the government to take care of us, but we are supposed to be taking care of ourselves sufficient and having the Lord meet all our needs, and we distribute amongst ourselves those that need help, and we reach out to the community by offering our salvation experience to those who want to find the way. And how do we do that? We follow Jesus, we obey His commandments, and we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Without these things, there is no revival. You must start your own personal revival. Don't wait for a brother or sister or so-and-so to wake up. You wake up and you start doing what you know to do, and they will be inspired by you, for a little flame can start a forest fire. We do not need to look at someone else's faults and what they're doing wrong. We need to look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Where's this revival going to start? Is it going to start with Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so? It's got to start with me. Because when Jesus comes, He's going to be coming for a prepared people. All of our life is preparation, preparation, preparation. We are in preparation for the coming of the Lord. I am preparing myself. I am trying to help others prepare. I am trying to raise children. I am trying to... different things we are all trying to do to prepare them and ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Noah prepared for 120 years for the flood. And this and a much greater thing coming than the flood is coming. It's the end of all things. There is no going back. It's only forward. And what happens down here is you either got to get right or you're going to get left. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. It's going to tell you just exactly what's going to happen at the end when Jesus comes. And going down to verse 34. I tell you in that night, could be night, could be day, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other left. Will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. Now, the apostles, the disciples, the people standing by were listening to him, and they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord? Where will these people be left?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." That tells me what's going to be left. Dead corpses. No secret rapture. Jesus is not coming in secret to snatch a bunch of people away and let a bunch of people live down here on earth and go through some kind of crazy, long drawn out process. When Jesus comes, every eye shall see him, and you'll either be right or you'll be left. Buzzard food. The world don't want to hear that kind of truth, but that's the way it is. They want to hear some song and dance that they, well, if I miss it this time, I can always have my head cut off during the tribulation. Oh, wonderful hope. Very wrong. And 1,000 years forced reign? Jesus never forced himself on anybody. The kingdom of God was given to men, and they can either accept it or reject it, but they will not be forced to live in it. They will be right or they'll get left. We are the people of God. Let's begin to act like the children of God. If you want to be revived, then you must start waking yourself up. Don't wait for anybody else. We have so much to do. Nobody need be wondering, what should I do? What should I do? God has given each one of us a talent. You are good at something. I don't know what it is. You're good at something. You can encourage, you can bake, you can sew, you can help people do things, you can go and encourage folks, you can visit, you can have meals at your house and invite people. There's so many things that we can do. And this thing that Becky said about the baby, the two babies, I like the second part better than the first. Instead of getting upset with somebody's parenting skills, help them out. That's revival. Looking after the widows and the orphans, visiting the sick, Jesus said, when they're going to be knocking on the door, and he says, "Is I don't know you." Now these are church people. These are church people, and Jesus was saying, "Well, you weren't ready. I don't know who you are, and I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." Where will the weeping and the wailing of teeth take place? The gnashing of teeth. Some people have gone and misinterpreted that and said there's going to be an eternal burning place where people will be weeping and gnashing their teeth forever. No, it'll be when they come to the realization that they missed it and that they're going to go off into a Christless eternity forever, obliviated, never to be remembered again, gone. Then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you realize if you miss it, you could have had it had you stayed awake. You say, "Well, are you preaching salvation by works?" No, I'm preaching a salvation that works. You get that? Salvation works. If we are so grateful for what Christ has done for us, the works come automatically. We begin to look and act and behave like Christians. And the world sees something they want. Do they see it in you? I hope they see it in me. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you have prepared us to be your servants. And there's so much to do. We just pray that you would wake us up, that we would begin to be stirred, that we would begin to be motivated to do your works, to speak to our neighbors, to speak to our families, to speak to our friends, to begin to show the works that you would have us to do, because we are thankful that you have saved us and provided this so wonderful salvation. We ask a blessing upon this congregation. We ask a blessing, but we also ask an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. For if our hearts do not change, then nothing will be changed. Lord, we're not trying to reform. We're trying to allow you to transform us into your image and into your likeness. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.